most all of you have met Cote Sorens and Miguel Escobar, who are friends of ours from Lake Burien. And today I'm so super excited that Tim Sorens is also joining us. And so thank you guys for hopping on today to help us kind of wrestle a little bit with this passage. And before we do that, I just so people can kind of be reminded a bit about who you are, just introduce yourself and maybe your connection and what you're doing over there in South Park. So, Miguel?
Yeah, my name is Miguel Escobar, or Miguel Escobar. And I'm a musician and still, unfortunately, a student living in South Park. Until recently, I was working at the coffee shop at where Cote and Tim, the coffee shop that Cote and Tim own. And I met a ton of people there, and I've been getting involved with the local art community. There's a lot of artists in South Park, and there's a lot going on there.
Cote, introduce yourself and this little person with you.
It's nice to be with you all again. My name is Cote Sorens, and the last time that we broadcasted a sermon, this little guy was being born at that moment, Sunday morning. So this is Benjamin. He's almost 5 months old now. And I'm a community midwife of projects. One of them was Resistencia Coffee, which has been a really, really super fun space mm-hmm. for us, very nurturing for us too. And also trying to nurture a faith community here in South Park.
And Tim, I'm super glad that you're here with us today. Would you want to take a minute to introduce yourself formally?
Sure. Well, it is such a gift to be with you all. I'm really honored to be here. Along with Cote, have helped kind of nurture along Resistencia Coffee, the coffee shop, and there's a little, very small co-working space above it that we call South Park Idea Lab. And of course, kind of beginning to nurture this new faith community, mm-hmm. kind of tentatively calling South Park Neighborhood Church, but it's really early. another friend and I, this is, it's kind of grounded in South Park, but it'll probably be more open to lots of youth around the South End, but we're trying to start a competitive baseball team.
Yes.
Vaughn is leading that. He's a baseball coach at Franklin, a coach of actually a handful of things, but I'm excited about that. And baseball's a big part of my world right now. When you sign up to coach, you find out you lose the rest of your life. So
it's been
really fun though. I also work with the Parish Collective, which is a network of kind of place-based churches from all over North America that are kind of have as their central unifying idea of how do we join in God's hopes and dreams at the neighborhood level, and then how do we connect and learn across places. So that's a great joy too. So that's a little bit more of a role that I have that's just outside of the neighborhood.
Great. Well, I'm super excited for the conversation that we're gonna have. So we had the passage that was read just before we started talking in John 15, and it's the vine and the branches. And so as we kind of have looked at that, I just want to start with maybe asking you, what are the images in that passage that strike you? What is interesting to you? What do you notice when you read that?
The thing that struck me, I think, this time reading it is that that both types of branches get cut, you know? It never really occurred to me that even the branch that produces fruit is pruned. Mm. And I don't know why you would bring that up except to say that like they're both in a way being cut. And the idea of pruning was really, really interesting to me this time around. Yeah, I've never understood pruning. My dad, I remember, I came home one day from school, I think, and the bush was like this big bush outside of our house. It's just destroyed. In my mind, that bush is dead now, you know? And I asked my dad, I was like, oh my God, Dad, did you see what happened? I don't know. Maybe some very strange vegetable with a lot of time on it. It's a great thing. So my dad was like, oh no, I did that. It'll grow. And it's true. Like, it grew way faster than it did before. And it was much bigger. And pruning is just a strange concept that I'm not super familiar with. But there is, I mean, if we stretch the analogy a little bit, there's a time where it looks dead, where it looks not in the best shape it's been in. And it's beneficial ultimately, but in a very direct, you know, at first glance, the pruning is not awesome. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just never paid attention much to that until reading it this time. Mm.
Yeah. It's funny, it got my attention too. I hadn't noticed it until now. Yeah. the pruning, and I said, what does he mean by that? And in that particular passage, it seemed like being transformed, being like you were pruned by the message, right? And that message made a difference. And transformed who we are.
I think when I read this text, I'm usually drawn to that word abiding. It's not a super common word that we talk about very often. It feels like kind of one of those important scriptural words that is almost kind of insider language, perhaps, which I guess synonyms would be like resting. There's a strong sense of being with. Mm-hmm. I kind of, when I think of abiding, I think of just like taking a breath and kind of relaxing, actually, like being dependent. And I feel like that's kind of countercultural right now. I feel like the opposite is striving, probably, cranking, working harder and harder, like finding the right technique. And I think it's one of the beautiful upside down realities of grace that Jesus keeps calling us back to, is like, abide in me and the fruit will come. Being a more, you know, fill in the blank person or Christian or man or woman or whatever, in this particular snapshot, that's not the prescription. It literally is like, I've got you, is kind of how I hear it. And that just feels like, maybe for me with busy lives and little kids and stuff, and a global pandemic, feels like a good word of like, I got you, you know, remember. So that's been something that I've been thinking about since I've been reading the text.
It's interesting that you should say that, because it's so, I think this is, the passage is like 8 verses, and abiding and fruit are like super prominent in the, just those 8 verses. Like, how many times, you know, do those words come up? And I think that, you know, when I was reading the chapter 14, I love this idea that that abiding, you know, is, we used to think that, well, this idea of it's mutual, you know, abide in me, remain in me, and I will remain, right? And so I have wondered what it feels like to nurture a life, an abiding life, where we're at home in God or in Christ, and God is at home in us.
Beautiful.
You know, that to me, that this passage really sort of kind of points us to this mutuality of, you know, us and God, to what you were saying, and cultivating, nurturing, pruning. All those things that are necessary for this mutual relationship, for growth and fruit, right? I guess I maybe would ask you, you know, in your work in South Park, where have you seen some of that abiding kind of way of being? You know, how do you see that in your community?
Well, I was actually running into this passage not too long ago, and it's really hard to believe that. I tend to function in a way that I like to start all sorts of initiatives, and I'm a busybody, and just ramp it up constantly. Mm-hmm. And it gets very exhausting. So I find myself in situations where I am trying to push it forward constantly, and I feel alone, and I feel like, oh my gosh, where is the funding gonna come for all these people who are like stepping into leadership, and you know, they need compensation, you know, whatever. That's a natural tendency that I have of being that way. So reading a passage like this is, I get it, but can I relax? And so to go through the process, and I think to me, that's where the pruning is. To go through the process of actually letting go and believing that presence is more important than a project. That grant proposal, that RFP, you know, it looks really shiny, but it may actually kill us, you know? So let go of that, you know? Remember that God will provide. Or there are things that you need to seek first the kingdom. You need to seek first that dependency, that intimacy, that relationship for fruit to bear. Mm-hmm. It's been incredibly impactful for me in the morning, you know, like what's going to happen today? Where am I going to put my energy today? Am I going to hustle it or am I going to pray?
That's good.
And it gets really real in that way. That's a little snippet into.
That's good.
I think one of the things that I've appreciated about South Park, even in some of that very real tension, is there's so much creativity here. And there's something about the concept of abiding to me that is like very subversive. Because what we're not talking about is the environment that the vine exists in, right? Like the vine, like here, the vine is like trying to be killed, you know? The vine is surviving against all odds, you know? Or maybe it just feels that way. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the gardeners got us, right? But I do think that there's that part of what it means when I think in verse 4, it says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. And I think it is referring to the vine, but I also think that the fruit in the neighborhood, you know, there's something about it that is a sign of abiding.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of reverse engineer it. And when you see the fruit, you know that you are abiding. Mm-hmm. Fruit doesn't happen any other way, right?
Right.
So the sign of our abiding can be, I think it all amounts to joy. There's some sort of joy that's occurring. Mm-hmm. I was reading, because of my thesis, I was reading the poet, the warrior, the prophet. And this is where I always get stuck and I start to daydream a lot. But Ruben Melvis says that our destiny is in joy. Mm. And yeah, and I think we tend to think that our destiny is in our rightness and our correctness, you know, is in being right. That is the ultimate destiny. But if our goal, if our mission is to abide, and that results in fruit, then our destiny is in this peace that you're talking about, is in enjoyment.
I would love to hear you guys talk a little bit about, I mean, get as practical as and earthy as you want, and, you know, really help us to understand when you think about the work in South Park and your, not even the work, but the abiding. I mean, because I know that you don't think about what you're doing as work. You think about it as your community. and so when you think about the things that make for peace as it relates to presence, being in community, what, talk to us about what you're learning or what you're seeing.
Something that's been on my mind lately around, I think, yes, the idea of abiding, but certainly the idea of peace is, I heard someone, I think it was actually like Brené Brown or someone who was talking about dehumanization, which is a profound detour from peace. But dehumanization always begins with language. And so ever since I've been hearing that, particularly as we're seeking it, to seek the peace of this place, I've been a little bit more alert to language and to how things are spoken in the neighborhood and how relationships go. I was walking our dog the other day and talking to some friends of ours that live just down the block. And somehow they're like, and this is true in lots of our neighborhoods, probably, like the South Park Facebook group or next door or whatever does some good things, but horrible language is spoken of that. And like this poor neighbor friend was really hurt by a neighbor I also know who's a pretty sweet guy, but through the medium of Facebook, pretty harsh, I would argue dehumanizing language was erupting. And it was not a massive, violent, uproarious, necessarily systemic issue per se, but you could feel the seeds of the opposite of peace. You could feel just like the quake of dehumanization. So that sounds kind of small. Well, or was it just a slight? I mean, it was slightly dehumanizing. It actually fractured. Like, she left the group. She's now afraid to engage as a citizen in this common shared neighborhood. So it's something that I've been thinking about as it relates to peace in a very kind of gritty, tangible way, is
for sure
watching our language.
I think that the abiding, it's another way of talking about presence and
yes,
and praxis as the opposite of technique. I know somebody who talks about that, but Tim's book kind of expands on that. But this is a neighborhood that has so many challenges that it's in many ways it can be a living grant proposal.
Wow.
And so let's talk about technique for a second, not abiding. The danger and the damage of striving technique. Let's non-profit this out. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of dehumanizing that too.
Yes.
This neighborhood is dealing with the sin of that very strongly.
The sin of
non-profiting people out. Let external resources coming in to help these poor people who have no talent, no gifts, no expertise. I'll figure out for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the toxic leadership that comes out of that. The disenfranchising, the parallel universes where people from different income levels and ethnic traditions live. It's really hard to blend them in as neighbors. So up against this narrative of this version of the neighborhood, this official version of the neighborhood, let's clean the environment, let's do the housing thing, let's do this, let's do that. The subversion of abiding. Mm. And taking a step back and practicing presence. Just making the decision of being in the same place, easy to find every day. Mm-hmm. So for us, that has been the coffee shop, right? Yeah. More or less, sometimes with the babies, we're like here. but people at least know where to find us. Mm-hmm. And what they know about us is that we care. That's all they know. They don't know if we have jobs. They don't know if we have money. They don't know if we have a, you know, a solution for your particular problem. All they know is that we care and that we are sitting there.
We're here.
We're here, this presence. And so the practice of abiding, it's not only countercultural, but it's also transformative. And in this particular case, kind of revolutionary. Because when you abide, you don't have a particular agenda. You are not fighting for your nonprofit to be the best nonprofit, which happens here. My nonprofit is the best nonprofit. No, mine is the best nonprofit. No, none of you guys, just shush it. Let's just be friends first. And out of friendship and joy, a lot of fruit happens.
Yeah, and peace.
And peace. And, peace. And that is a gift of the Christian tradition that cannot be overlooked as far as like, what is our Christian contribution to this neighborhood? You know, it's not the nonprofit program, because there are so many, you know, it's the peace of the abiding. Mm-hmm. And that can still be a fruit. So yeah, I think that I personally have been like railing myself back, and learning to be more of a Mary than a Martha. Because I have Martha tendencies. You can see all over. but trying to be more of a Mary, which is the abiding, I think, which is like the intimacy, the mutuality of the intimacy is so beautiful in that, mm-hmm. in the mutuality of it all. And I love how you brought the environment into it too, Miguel. There is a lot of power there. And it's been really beautiful to form these collaborations with people and people kind of chilling out and coming around to trust and making better programming for youth and making with less money, you know, right. Making better, I don't know, better organizing. Like, I think a really beautiful story we have from the abiding is the food response throughout COVID for this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Nobody had a lot of money. There is not like one nonprofit that is known for this. Nobody can actually take the credit.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot of people sharing, but there was intention in that. There was intention in curating that kind of space.
Mm-hmm.
I remember telling Miguel once, like, there's nothing intentional about how the food collective came about, you know, because there was the intention of practices. There was the intention of abiding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think another thing is that a lot of the participants in that collective, I mean, they were already abiding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, abiding like preceded the thing that people will point to.
That's very good.
People will give credit to the actual collective, but the abiding that happened before then is still not going to receive attention.
Right.
You know, and it does matter then the way that we tell the story. And I think it also is interesting to me that like in a way, like all these branches are supposed to produce fruit, right? They all have like a really similar goal. But the difference is the ones that abide. And I think you use the language of like subverting. And I think it's really interesting that I do think because of the environment, a lot of our call is to subvert, is to be creative. And that's part of what I think is happening in South Park all the time. And I don't want to give too much credit to the arts, but I feel like it has a lot to do with the art.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, Miguel, I would be remiss to not point out that the strength of the collaboration of the food collective found its origins on Café con Leche, the open mic. That is how we all became friends. And really good friends, because there were real moments of intimacy as far as like sharing and listening and encouraging. So I'm totally down with that. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's the creativity that that can transform a pretty standard procedure, like applying for grants, like starting a nonprofit, and then the creativity allows you to subvert the standard method and to transform it into abiding, you know?
Yeah. I think it's important to pay attention to the creatives in our midst in this moment right now, right? The prophets were creatives in many ways. And so I think creative people have this, it's a gift. It's actually that particular community's gift to the broader, right? Because I think that there's a practice of abiding that they have, that they've nurtured in order to bring that gift. And so I 100% not surprised, you know, Cote, when you say that, you know, some of the result of what's happening, the abiding, all of this came, the abiding preceded a lot of the other stuff. And some of that got formed in the creative space, which I think to Lake Burien, there's many of you that have these gifts. And I just want to encourage you right now, if that's you, to pay attention, because I think our worship and arts ministry, this is a place for you to actually bring your gift in a moment in time where we need a word. We need that prophetic gift to sort of help us find peace. I think those ways lead to peace in subversive, not obvious ways. I think that's why Jesus was so good at being a storyteller. You know, it was very subversive, but pretty darn direct, you know. So,
spoken word artist.
Right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up here. Before I do, I just want to go back to, I would love to hear for Lake Burien to hear a little bit about where the church kind of, how we can pray. And then also, you know, just let us know. I mean, we're right up the hill and we're there, but definitely connected. So I don't know who wants to give us a little bit of an update.
I would like to do that. Well, yes. So we're also wrestling with COVID and the COVID and loss of momentum of faces. But we keep going. Yeah, and I think we're praying for clarity of vision together and for more people who want to join having joining us in forming a culture of care in this neighborhood. That's really important. Also, the ability to stay in place and thrive in place. You know, so as people in some people in our community own homes here, some people in our community rent, you know, and that's a big challenge to, when you're committed to a neighborhood you can't stay in.
Yeah.
So prayers for doors to continue to open in that regard, and for wisdom as far as, again, many nonprofits have come to South Park. I think wisdom and direction as far as what it means to be a people of followers of Jesus in this neighborhood.
I think from all of us, there's just such immense gratitude for friendship and support from all of you. We are, as we said, really early on in this journey, and we think it's going to be long and beautiful and painful at times, but your friendship and mentorship and support and knowing that there is an incredible, healthy church right up the hill that in so many ways has our back and is praying is such a, it's a powerful, powerful gift. So I think we're really, really grateful for that.
Thanks. We love it.
In reading this passage and thinking about, yeah, just the concept of peace that you've been talking about, the series that we're in. Yeah, I've just been thinking about the way that I was kind of raised to think about peace is maybe not the end goal. It's very strange, but there's like this commitment to certain ideas that was more important than peace. And a violence that was acceptable in favor of those concepts. And I think it made me afraid of peace and joy and yeah, and pleasure, you know, that you're not supposed to enjoy stuff. You're supposed to do the right thing. And that's so strange, right? That separates the idea of doing the right thing from enjoyment. And I just think it's so important for us to enjoy stuff. And I think we don't take seriously that the presence of God is often joy. But maybe that's the bomb I would make. Joy and pleasure are signs of God.
Wow. Yeah, for sure. Thanks.
I resonate a lot with what you're saying. Yeah, I think I was raised in a similar way. And the invitation, I feel that God's invitation consistently is to joy and peace and like chill out.
You all, thank you again for taking time to be with us, and we'll look forward to doing it again and just getting more connected and more updates. And, you know, I think would love for folks, Lake Burien, if you have not been down to South Park and you haven't been to the coffee shop, please get down there. It's really easy to find. It's right on the main street, right? Cloverdale, right on Cloverdale. So easy to find. The best cup of coffee, a great place to hang out. Go hang out. You will be there thinking you're just going to stop in for coffee and end up staying for much longer than you thought, right?